This is the EMG Podcast.
All right, welcome back to another Spotlight edition of the EMG Podcast. I am here today with Miss Sydney McQuillan Grace of Electric Boulevard fame. Sydney, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Lovely plants. We were just talking about Sydney's plants in the background.
Thank you.
Yes. We are doing this via Zoom for those of you who are listening and not watching. And it was kind of an impromptu thing that we wanted to throw together quickly because Sydney did something that is so remarkable in my opinion, especially given, because I'm a super fan nerd, which we'll get into. But I saw her last weekend. I was like, you have to come on and you have to discuss this. But before we get into all of that, tell me in a soundbite, as I always ask people this, and this, you know, your actions are the focus of this interview. Typically, you are the focus, and I'll still get you back here for one of those. But who is Sydney in a soundbite?
Who is Sydney in a soundbite? Gosh, that's a really hard one. Sydney is a creative, collaborative person who's just looking to continue to expand as an artist and as a person.
Okay, I like that. You were like, you didn't know I was going to ask you that, but you were very well prepped. Without burying the lead, tell us all why you're here today. What are we chatting about?
Okay, so I had the opportunity recently to fulfill a huge lifelong dream for me personally and have a super career highlight, singing background vocals for Miley Cyrus. For the SNL 50 anniversary homecoming concert at Radio City Music Hall, and then also on the 50th anniversary for SNL on their televised special.
Yeah, which is amazing, and I have so many questions. In fact, I was I didn't want to bother you that night, but you and I were texting a little bit. Yeah. And then when I saw you in person last week, I said, I have so many questions. Let's save it for the podcast. So I really don't know a lot of the specifics, but sure. You know, obviously we always highlight, our performance talent roster and how great everybody is and the accolades that you all put together individually that then become part of the larger collective. And I was so proud of you and happy. And also I am a SNL super fan, right? So I had the SNL 50th like on my calendar from months and months ago. Like I'm not planning anything. I'm going to be here. And I don't think I knew that you were going to do this. And so I'm watching on Friday night, the concert, and Miley was the first one up, you know, five and minutes or so into the show. And I'm looking and I'm like, is that Sydney? So I immediately go to Instagram. And of course, I see your updates and stuff. So tell me how did you get there? How did you get to, hey, I'm on stage at Radio City with Miley Cyrus?
Okay, well, so first of all, let me just say I am also a super fan. Grew up watching this show. Absolutely loved it. Would like sneak downstairs to try and like watch it with my folks. And I also had it on my calendar. I also didn't know I was going to be doing it until, let's see. So we shot the homecoming special at Radio City first. That aired on Friday night. I got a call Wednesday.
Okay.
So a friend of mine who I have worked with many times in the past, who is a phenomenal backup singer, well, just an amazing performer in general, but she does backups for a lot of people. She is on tour in Europe right now, and Miley's sound person or somebody from her team called her and said, hey, I know you used to live in New York. Miley really wants to have some backup singers for this upcoming homecoming concert. Can you try to put together a couple of girls to send over? So this was Wednesday at probably around 11:30. I got the call. We were asked to meet at Radio City at 1:30. So literally it was that afternoon. I got the call from my friend Dinesh, and she, you know, said, can you be available for a gig tonight? And I was like, maybe. What's it for? And she said it was for SNL. And I said, yeah, I'm on my way. So I went down to Radio City, met the other two girls who were going to be doing backup, who were absolutely lovely and fantastic. And yeah, we had maybe 30, 40 minutes before Miley actually arrived on property. And we went over some backing vocals for her song Flowers. We thought that was going to be the only song that we were doing. We even came up with a cute little choreo moment. And then Miley came in and said, okay, cool. We're not going to do anything like the record. We're changing up the arrangement. Let's go. I said, all right. We went over it for like 20 minutes. And then we're on stage sound checking with Miley and Britney and the Roots. And
okay, so hold on. I've got to unpack all of that.
And please,
also,
sorry.
It's a good thing you and I set up multiple recording things, because I got so excited I forgot to hit record on Zoom. So let me hit, I'm going to hit that really quickly. Hold on.
Okay.
Wait for it. Okay, so this is actually happening at Radio City, right?
It is, yeah.
All right, so when you get there, you meet these girls for the first time. You mm-hmm. start to like, okay, let's work out some, you're taking this harmony, I'm taking that harmony, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then are you in a dressing room? Or are you on the stage? Like, where are you?
No. So we went into Radio City. The entire building was basically taken over. I mean, this is a huge production.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They didn't even release to the people that were performing, like the other people performing, who all was going to be there. And so, yeah, we found a random stairwell by the bathroom downstairs, and the three of us just posted up, sat down, and started going over, okay, who wants to take what, who's comfortable where, and we'll just, jump in.
So Miley comes in. This is the first time you're meeting her. What does she say? Yeah. What does she do?
She couldn't have been more lovely and welcoming.
Okay.
Immediately she came in and gave us all hugs and was just so grateful that we were there and thankful. She was like, I know this is super last minute, but I'm so, so happy to have you guys. And so she's like, we're going to change up the arrangement. I had looked up, because she'd only performed Flowers one other time live before.
But wait a second. She didn't do Flowers on the show, right?
What was that?
She didn't do Flowers. She did the cover of Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
She did that, and then she followed it up with Flowers.
Oh, and that didn't air.
It did air.
Am I going crazy right now? Do I not remember seeing Flowers?
You are going crazy.
I am. Yes, I am.
Yeah, going but crazy. You should go back and watch it, because it's an awesome performance.
Well, I have it pulled up here in a second, and we're gonna put it up. I love Flowers. My favorite Miley moment was Flowers at the Grammys, where she was geeking out about, like, I'm on the Grammys. Like, she is like all of us at 12 years old who grew up in music.
100%.
You know, I love that. But so she comes in. All right. So you do. And then how did Brittany Howard of the she's got her own amazing career, but originally of Alabama Shakes. What was the tie-in to the two of them? I wasn't aware of their collaboration together.
So I actually don't know what spawned their collaboration, but I'm just so grateful that it happened.
Yeah.
I personally am a huge fan of both of them. I think they have, as vocalists, I think they have the most interesting and beautiful and unique vocal tone out of any pop stars that we have right now. So any time that they come out with something, I'm immediately going to listen to their music.
Yeah, they both have very distinct voices.
Very, very much so. We didn't realize that we were going to be doing Crazy Little Thing Called Love until we were on stage. Miley came back over and was like, okay, we're going to do Crazy Little Thing Called Love too. But we'll go over it later. I said, okay, great. So, so Brittany comes over and introduces herself. We're on Radio City stage, by the way. I'm like right in front of the Roots, Quest is right behind me. It was just one of those moments where it was, jump in, you're thrown into the deep end and you sink or you swim. And we decided we were going to swim.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. We knew that song well enough to kind of do a unison backing harmony.
Yeah.
And then we were obviously going to go and we really learned it and figured out who wanted to do what part, because it's actually pretty complex vocal arrangement. So, yeah.
What's more stressful for you, standing on stage at Radio City with The Roots and Miley Cyrus and Brittany Howard and being told, hey, we're singing this song now that you didn't know and just being thrown into it versus like you're singing someone's first dance?
Oh, my gosh. Here's the thing. I actually think they're both very similar, and I'll tell you why. For me, the sound check wasn't that nervous for that. You know, we were obviously being thrown into this. So, you know, there wasn't as many expectations for us, you know, until the actual performance date. But knowing that this performance meant so much to everybody in the audience, so much to the artists that we got a chance to work with and The Roots. I mean, so, and the band. It's the same as doing a first dance because it's like that's going to be a moment that everybody in that room remembers, you know? So it's more than just singing the right notes. It's capturing a feeling and making sure that as, you know, as the performer, that you are really delivering and making something special for the people that are there.
So how long was your sound check for?
Maybe like 20 minutes.
Okay, very good. So now you get done with the sound check, you walk off. Mm-hmm. Now what happens?
Now we went up to a random dressing room in Radio City where Miley's whole team was being held. And she said, okay, great. So we're going to record some of the backing vocals. So because, you know, it's live performance and there can always be audio issues and she wanted the backing vocals to sound lush and big, we pre-recorded some of those backing vocals that day. And then we also sang them live, obviously, during the show. So we went upstairs and hung out actually for about 45 minutes while her team was getting ready to get all the recordings.
Did you do the recordings in just like a dressing room?
Yeah. Actually, I'm sure if you soloed out those vocals, you would hear like Cher sound checking in the background, the Backstreet Boys sound checking in the background.
How cool is that?
It was super cool. It was awesome.
So let's get into some of the tea here. And I'm going to ask you about Radio City, not Sunday night. Sunday night, I want to get into a whole different thing. But who'd you meet? What was it like backstage?
Here's the thing. This is such a well-oiled machine. You know, they have so many people, so many different celebrities, so many different artists in the building that they really try to keep you in whatever dressing room and they'll isolate it and bring you down, mainly just because otherwise it would be a disaster zone. I mean, they'd have thousands of people just milling about, you know? So we didn't actually get a chance to really meet a ton of people. Mm-hmm. I will say, the backstage area from when you're going on and going off and you're waiting was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I accidentally body checked one of the Backstreet Boys, Kevin. He's okay. He's doing fine. He survived.
Very good.
I mean, we saw Lady Gaga. We got to hear her sound check. Absolutely incredible. Who else did we see? Of course, my mind is like blanking, but it was, you know, it was just really cool. You couldn't, you know, go any or take like a step because it was so packed.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be just musicians. It would be, you know, I'm blanking on the name, but one of the original, the original like cast members were like backstage when we were there too. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it was just really cool to see everybody. I mean, yeah. And it was just an obviously exciting energy to be around.
So now that's Wednesday, right? So now the show aired on Friday. When was it? I can't remember. Was it live? It was live, right?
It was live.
So when do you report back on Friday and kind of walk me through that experience? What about wardrobe? Talk to me about wardrobing.
That's a great question. I think when something's put together, you know, kind of last minute, and also, I mean, everyone has very different body types, but so they asked what wardrobe we had, and so they kind of gave us a mood board of what it is that they were looking for, and they asked us to send in some options of what we already had, and then they spiced it up. So the black dress that I was wearing in the show was mine, and the jacket that I was wearing, the leather jacket, was something that they provided for me.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much I think the same for most of the girls. One of the girls had amazing style, and so they were like, you know, like, we're going to try to match this.
Okay. Cool. That's really great. So yeah. You get there Friday, you get your clip. What time did you have to arrive?
Friday, I think I had to be there around 2. Don't quote me on that. And yeah, we were there early. We did a little sound check again, same day. And then, went upstairs, obviously did hair and makeup. We shared a dressing room with Cher singers, background singers who were awesome. We almost, we almost maybe were going to have to sing or fill in for Cher's backup singers on Wednesday. Cause there was something going on and we were like, we are available.
Yeah. I'm there. Could you imagine Cher? She killed it. She was, oh my God. She was incredible.
I saw her on Sunday night. So when we did the SNL, the televised special, I was like, I walked out on, and obviously it's a small studio. It's New York City. So it's, you know,
it's tight, right?
But right in front of me, I was like, who is, has that fabulous blonde beehive? And then she looked over and I was like,
oh, Cher. Yeah, that's so
I literally
funny.
Audibly went, Cher.
Amazing.
That was the only person I geeked out about.
Of course, Peacock has some anti-theft device here. So I just went to share the screen and won't let me share. But I'm staring at this picture right when it starts. There's, you know, dead center. Miley's on the left. Britney's on the right. And there you are. Boom, dead center. It's so cool. So you finished your singing performance, right? And then were you able to watch the rest of the show? Did you have to hang out in the back? Like, what happened?
That's a great question. We weren't really able to hang out in the back again because there's just, it's
too many people.
It's too many people. So they brought us back to our dressing room and we could kind of hear everything, but we couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And the entire audience was sold out. I mean, it was such a cool tribute that they did. Everyone that was in the audience had either worked for SNL.
Yeah, they were affiliated.
Affiliated in some way. So it really was like a homecoming concert.
It's amazing.
And you could feel it in the room. I mean, that house holds about 6,000 people and everybody was like psyched to be there. And it was just cool. So unfortunately we didn't get a chance to go and kind of watch the rest of it, but we did get a chance to hear it. And, you know, obviously, I had wanted to leave a little bit early, not stay for the, you know, the very end, mainly because I knew we had Sunday coming up and I wanted to get my rest, make sure that I had everything ready for that day too. But you know, ran into some fun celebs right as I was leaving out the side door.
Sure,
Tracy Morgan. Got to chat with Tracy Morgan. He was really cool. And Lauryn Hill was coming in as I was leaving too. So she's so tiny, but she's so beautiful.
Is she really?
She was so good.
She has a very tall appearance.
I know. Yeah. I know. She's got a big personality, but no, she's a teeny thing, but she was, it was great.
Did Miley cool say anything to you afterward?
Yeah, Miley, first of all, Miley is like an incredible person to work with, incredible collaborator. She knew exactly what she wanted for the arrangement. She was always on time. Her vocals are perfect live. She is just incredible and couldn't be kinder or more welcoming. So at the end of, at the end of our rehearsal on Wednesday, she had asked us to join on Sunday. So we weren't initially being contracted for Sunday's performance. That was something that she asked us to do after our time with her on Wednesday, which was pretty cool. And the thing that she kept saying was, yeah, you know, you've been thrown into the deep end and you guys knocked it out of the park. And that really says a lot.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. It was nice to hear.
So at what point were you contracted for Sunday?
We were contracted, I think, officially on Thursday morning. We got the call. We got the call to see if we were available and if it was something we'd be interested in doing.
Let me ask,
so
this is
we had rehearsal there that night for that.
On what night?
On Thursday.
Oh, so you went to 8H on Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, hold
on.
Let me back up. Because I'm gonna really geek out over that.
Please do.
I have a question that I don't know if anyone other than me would find interesting, but I'm gonna ask it anyway.
Sure.
When you get contracted for this, I know how you get contracted for private events. I know how you get contracted for Broadway. When it's something like this, what is the actual mechanism Like, is there a legal document that is sent to you, or is it on a handshake? And then how are you paid afterward? Like that, I find the business of that so interesting.
Yeah, there's, I mean, honestly, it's very unique to every situation. And so for this, because it's televised, it was definitely a little different. So there were, you know, that involves more than just kind of like being contracted by Miley or SNL.
Yeah, who were you contracting with?
So,
is it NBC?
It was both. It was both the artist and the television show.
Yep.
But the television show, those contracts, I believe, came through SAG-AFTRA.
Got it.
Which is a union that, yeah, is for film and television.
Got it.
Yeah, that's how those kind of went. I mean, luckily, we had Dinesh helping us kind of work through all of those contracts.
Sure.
Because, yeah, they're definitely complicated.
I assume they were very hefty, yeah.
Yeah, they were, and just, you know, they're very specific, as they should be. So, yeah, it was great to have her walk us through
that. Yeah. So you get the call Thursday, so now you have to go to the hallowed ground of Rockefeller Center, Studio 8H. For any SNL person, that is like, that's literally the Mecca, right?
Yeah.
Talk me through, and you're a fan. So it's not just, hey, I get this cool television gig. You are an SNL fan. So walk me through that whole experience.
Yeah, I mean, I was so psyched, because when I got the call for the homecoming concert, I was like, this is amazing. And we get to do Radio City. There was the teensiest part of me that was a little sad that we weren't
actually at
SNL studios. So when we got that call, I was so beyond psyched, because I was like, oh man, this is everything. This is the dream, is to be like on like SNL, you know, that stage that you just see every week. So when you go in, it's smaller than you think it is. Have you ever gone as an audience member?
So it's so funny. I love how you said this to me last week. You said, yeah, it was on my bucket list to be on SNL, to sing. And I'm like, that's cool. My bucket list is to just be in the audience and watch the show. I have never attended the show, but I went for one of the like the NBC studio tours. And
oh, cool.
So we went in there on like whatever, like a Wednesday afternoon. It was empty. But even that, I was like, like I couldn't, I was pinching myself, and I can't even imagine that you were at this seminal, you're a part of seminal history of SNL, which is crazy.
It's honestly probably one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. I've ever done one of the most amazing experiences. It's honestly, it's like an active beehive almost. It's smaller than you think it is.
Yeah.
There's like four stages across this big, long room. And the stage is kind of the one, if you're in the audience and you're looking, it's all the way on the right-hand side.
Yep.
And it was incredible to just, you know, walk through there. But the reason why I say it's kind of like an active beehive is because there's so many little rooms and little pockets. It's not just that stage area. Every single, you know, room is filled with somebody doing something amazing for the show. So you peek into one room as you're like on the, you know, hallway going to the stage, and it's like, oh, someone's making these amazing, incredible wigs, and this person's doing costumes, and this person's like, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's part like Jimmy Fallon, like popping in to say hi to somebody, or, you know, I mean, it's alive.
Well, actually, that was one of my questions for you, and you kind of touched on it before, is with the amount of people that they had, artists, performers, stagehands, so on and so forth, I was thinking to myself, like, for the Sunday night, for the actual show that aired on NBC, how did they fit all of those people in there?
I don't know.
Like, where did they stash you? Where did they put you?
We were on a different floor. So we were actually, we were being held in Kelly Clarkson's show, like her dressing rooms for guests.
Amazing.
So that was pretty, thanks Kelly.
Thanks Kel. So same thing there. I mean, now on the actual special, she does Nothing Compares, which is the Sinead O'Connor song. And of course, as an SNL superfan, you know that Sinead O'Connor has this checkered past with SNL. Why that song? Did we ever get a reason as to why?
I hope I'm not giving away any secrets. I think Lorne Michaels.
I like how you just dropped, like, you know, Lorne. You're on a first. You're just.
I'm not on a first name basis. I don't even. I'm really not. But I saw him, and I obviously geeked out. But no, I.
Yeah.
He and Miley's been on the show so many times. And I know that she has like a close relationship with him. And I believe that was something that he had asked her to do.
Yeah.
I think that there were, what I noticed in the show when watching is that there were also specific performances that they were trying to kind of harken back to. Like at the homecoming, they had Nirvana,
yep.
You know, and throughout that kind of night with Sabrina Carpenter and, you know, at the beginning, and she was doing a duet with
Paul Simon.
Yeah. So really trying to kind of touch on some of the more famous or favorites of his,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah, you could tell that it was, again, for somebody that knows and like follows the history of whatever, you could see that it was his musical taste kind of throughout
the night.
It was
a love letter. It was a love letter to Lorne, and it should be because he's created something incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that he got a chance to really
enjoy it.
So, yeah.
When your performance was over on Sunday on the actual show, same mm-hmm. thing? Do they whisk you back to Kelly's dressing room and are you just sitting there for the rest of the evening?
Yes, but that was a little different because they had big TVs in there so you could watch the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it was really nice to be able to kind of see some of it because, to be honest, on Friday after the homecoming concert, I went home and I watched it because I was like, we didn't really get a chance to like see it. So I went home and watched it.
Yeah, of course. Amazing. That's so cool.
So I could see what everyone else's performances looked like. I could hear him, but I couldn't see him. So it was great to be able to go back and watch some of the show and see what skits and who was popping up. And I mean, like, we had no idea. So it was
so great. It was so enjoyable. And so did you, on your way out, did you ever say, it's like, Miley, give me a call or, you know, SNL, if you need me, you know, any inroads laid there? What do you think?
I mean, I, you know, we definitely, you know, when we were saying goodbye, said, you know, please let us know. We would love to be considered for anything that you have coming up in the future. So, of course, I mean, you that would be amazing.
Yeah,
that would be
an
incredible dream come true, too. So, you know, would love that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I, like I said, on behalf of like, you know, the whole EMG collective and the family, like we're so happy for you and we're so proud and like, you're one of us, you know what I mean? So like you were up there and I have a colleague, who has a company like ours in Europe and, his horn players, were on the show as well, with Paul McCartney and, and so it was cool to say like, your musicians are there and our musician is there. It's very, it was a very achievable moment. And so we're so happy and proud of you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, it was an incredible experience and I'm so grateful for the opportunity and, you know, here's hoping that leads to more. More doors that open.
Last question for you. You've got to give me your top three SNL cast members of all time.
Okay. Of all time?
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Sorry.
Really
sorry. Of your time. Because everybody has like the cast that they, when they were younger, like they broke in on, right?
Yes.
So I'll just, from when you started watching until now, who are your top three cast members?
Okay. Mine kind of spans, obviously.
Okay.
I'm going old school. Mike Myers.
Okay.
All-time fan.
Yes.
Will Ferrell. I mean, you can't not. And Molly Shannon. And I saw Molly Shannon.
She was all over that show.
She was all over that show. And I saw her a couple of times in the hallways, in the elevator. We had seen each other randomly so many times that I was just like, hey, by the end, she's like, hey.
That's really cool. It's funny. You and I are about the same age. And so our cast members like are the same, right? When we were like kids and like breaking in on that. But what's so funny, I love Molly Shannon. Will Ferrell is like my all-time favorite. I love Eddie Murphy, but that's not my era, right? But Will Ferrell is my guy. But in that late 90s, I always preferred Sherry O'Terry to Molly Shannon. And Sherry was nowhere to be seen. I know she was in the audience and stuff, but she like wasn't on the show. And I was like, oh, come on, I need a little Sherry, you know?
I know. The skit that she did with Will, the cheerleaders, was obviously nice. Yeah. It was perfect for me. I mean, yeah.
I love our audience that's listening to this because they have Electric Boulevard at their wedding or they're just interested in this. The minute I started talking about late 90s cast members from SNL, Sherry O'Terry, they've checked out. So I now know we've overstayed our welcome. As you and I are geeking out, like, do you remember that skit from October of 97? You know.
Well, I'll say my favorite new cast member or newer cast member is Bowen Yang, and definitely got to see Bowen a couple of times just passing through. And like the coolest ever. And I love his podcast.
Oh, I didn't know he had a podcast.
He's got a podcast with Matt Rogers, and it's delightful. Go and listen.
I love that. Well, I would, if you haven't yet, and this is to you and also to anybody that's listening. In the run up to the SNL 50th, Peacock put out many different specials about it. Did you watch all of them?
Of course.
Yeah, so did I. How good was the music one?
Wait, I actually don't think I saw the music one, other one except for that.
It was the best one out of all of them. And I loved all of them. The music one is a 2-hour, 2.5-hour, like you have to go watch it. I mean, it's just like how impactful SNL music has been, to like our pop culture. Like the very first televised hip hop performance was on SNL, right?
Oh yeah.
However, for anybody from EMG listening here, I'll tie this together. Performers, colleagues of ours or clients, the opening 5-ish minutes of that, I'm going to look it up right now to see what it's called, but the opening 5 minutes of that SNL music documentary, it takes 50 years of performances and it mashes them together the way that our DJs would. And
the
thing that it creates, like, I don't know musically, I mean, they're spanning stuff from 1975 and 1995, and like they're mixing the keys properly. I mean, it's incredible. It's an absolutely incredible thing, and I would highly recommend it. I actually, after watching it on a lunch break here for the office staff, I called everybody in and I was like, okay, you need to come watch this. You know, it was like assigned homework, but you need to check that out because that history you're now a part of.
Exactly.
I love it.
I love it too.
Cindy, thank you so much for your time. We're going to put this together on the blog. We're going to put up all your great behind the scenes photos and everything that you do. We really appreciate it. And we hope that, I hope the next time that you get called for SNL, because we're going to manifest that.
Yeah.
You know, you might find an audience ticket or two for me. You know what I'm saying?
That would be amazing. Yeah. My mom was like, listen,
I'll bring your mom. I'll pick her up.
I love that. Honestly, you would have a great time with Mary Rose, but she was very sad that there were no tickets available to either performance. I was like, she's like, then I'm your mom. And I was like, I know.
Did she tell all of her friends now? She's like, you know, my daughter. I love that.
It's more like my dad, Ken. He thinks he's like an influencer on Facebook. Like he posts like at least 4 times a day. He's like, people count on me. And I was like, I'm sorry. Yes. So he was really
amazing.
Promoting it.
That's great. Well, Ted, until we meet again, thank you so much. Okay. And we'll see everybody back here for another edition of the EMG Podcast.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
You can find us at elegantmusicgroup.com or on Instagram @elegantmusicgroup.